Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you hear this sexy deep voice, you know what time it is. It is the Game Dev Unchained podcast. I am Larry Charles, and back again, he asked nicely, and of course I said yes, my best friend, Mr. Brandon Pham.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode. This week, we have special guest and returning guest, Ray Graham. How you doing, Ray?
Mr. Ray.
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me.
We just want to let the audience know that we're not doing returning guests because we ran out of guests. We literally have the guru for this topic as far as Brandon and I are concerned. Brandon, why don't you tell the good people what we're talking about this week?
Right. If you have not read the episode, we are going to talk about salaries and how to up your game in the industry as far as financials goes.
How to add more commas to them checks.
Yes. So if you haven't heard of Ray's first episode with us, it's episode 11, Minorities in Gaming. This time we're not talking about how he's black in the industry. We're going to talk about the color green, where we can all relate to, which is, of course, money. Yes. So, Ray, you're kind of my unofficial mentor when it comes to this. And I remember way back when you gave me like the simplest advice, but so true and so difficult for many others. Do you mind telling us how should I go about asking for the salary that I want?
Just ask for it.
All right. Thank you for this.
And thank you, everybody, for Game Dev Unchained podcast.
Good night.
Yes,
so the biggest thing, right, the biggest worry that most people have is they're always thinking about, at least for me, right, I'm always thinking about what can I get, like, reasonably. Mm-hmm. Because we're all in fear of rejection. We're all in fear of overshooting it. We're all in fear of losing that opportunity, right? So, I mean, Ray, have you always been so confident in what you wanted or – you know, you being a programmer, you're the biggest fish when it comes to game industry. So you have great authority over this.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if that's true, really. I think people do have irrational fears, right? Of whatever if they ask for too much, then the company would just walk away and say, "No, I'm not trying to talk to these guys," mm-hmm. right? Or this guy or this person or whoever. And really you just have to be confident in that you know what you're talking about, you know your value, and just ask for what you want, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you're currently at a company and you're kind of not happy with whatever your compensation is or whatever your title is, whatever job you're doing, right? A lot of people just sit there and stew. Mm. Right? And you know, just speak up, right? That's the number one thing. You have to speak up. You have to just take the hit, and then you will know right away what your value is to this company, mm. right? And go from there, yeah. right?
So. Do you feel like it ever throws like a red flag? Because I guess to me that would be the known fear. If I say something like, "Hey, I want this much," and they're like, "No," and then you go back to your desk. It's like the most embarrassing thing, right? It's like you're a reject still going back to that person for work.
So that sounds like if you're asking for a raise, right?
Yeah, or like a position. Like, Ray, I don't know, man. Have you ever felt like that? It feels like you've always been like a straight shooter and you got what you wanted.
Or even like, you know, I used to manage people, right? Mm-hmm. And they would be like, "Hey, you know, I want this, or I want some new role or something, or I want to step up and do more work or whatever," right? And it's always I try to counsel that person, right? Try to steer them towards, okay, you know, I will talk to the higher ups and say, yeah, you're dope and you need this, or I'll say, hey, you know, okay, so, you know, step up, you know, you ready to step up, so you got to do this work. And a lot of times, you know, you basically have to do the work. You have to show that, hey, I'm ready to do this. Like, that's what I noticed, like, in the game industry, at least, you have to put in that effort, you have to put in that work first, and then people will hopefully recognize, and if you speak up, then it'll be good for you, right?
Yeah.
I guess early on in your career, when you were younger, before you were, like, Ray, the programmer that everyone had to have, when you were trying to evaluate your skill set financially, right? Did you have any, like, butterflies in your stomach when you went to go do your initial salary negotiations?
Well, my first job in industry, right, I got it straight out of school when I finished college, right? Mm-hmm. I saw a posting on a Usenet news group. Yes, that's how old I am.
Could you see my face?
And I basically replied back to him. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm interested in this job posting, right? And really, you know, it's my first job in industry, no experience, hadn't really done anything other than what I've done in school or whatever. And so it didn't matter. When I got in industry, and even now still, it doesn't matter what the number was, right? Because first and foremost, I wanted to work on games. I'm going to work on games. This is what I'm going to do, right? Mm-hmm. And this company especially was like, yeah, we just need dudes to work on this stuff, right? So they it didn't matter what number they came with, and they were very happy that it didn't matter what number they came with, right? They're just like, hey, we need to hire people, you know? Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was definitely, like, I didn't care. I was just like, whatever. Yeah, I'll do whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And at the time, like, there's friends of mine straight out of school going to work at Microsoft or going to work at Trilogy, a company in Austin, Texas, or going to work, you know, in other fields. And they were, like, getting paid more than double in some instances. So, but I was just like, I'm going to work on games,
right? Yeah. Sweet. Man, you must really love games. I mean, isn't that the number one thing with game programmers? They really, really love games.
I think that's a requirement of anybody in this industry. Right. I think you have to really, really love making games. It's a creative endeavor. You're working on a team with a bunch of people, right? It's long hours. It's high stress. Why the hell are you doing this?
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Right? You have to be doing this for a reason. And then you have to really like games, right? You have to like what you're making or what you're working on.
Right. Like, as a student, like, I would say the number one fear as a student, if you start low and you continue doing that, right, don't you continue, like, entering the industry at a low number and then continue it being low even though you have the same experience as everyone else, if you understand what I'm saying?
You definitely run the risk of, like, you start, you know, you're gonna get your yearly increases or whatever, or your experience is gonna grow and you're gonna get paid more money, right? And you could end up, like, being lower than the average because you came in too low, right?
I say if you start low, you grow low, and that's just the way it is.
And like, and there's no real secret to that, right? It's just if you have that feeling, you just gotta speak up and be like, look, you know, look at what I'm doing, look at the work I'm doing, I need to be recognized. Mm-hmm. And then if it's not recognized, then you explore your options, right?
Yeah.
I think the number one thing is when you're exploring your options, like, if you say, hey, I'm gonna, like, you just can't stick it out at that company anymore or whatever, you want to move on, right? The number one thing is, like, they always ask you, oh, what are you getting paid right now? What is your current compensation right now? Mm-hmm. and you have to tell them what your current compensation is, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't tell them the truth. Like,
I was just going to say, I wonder if anyone has ever answered that question and told the truth.
Like, don't do that if you're not happy with what you're currently getting, you want more, right? Like, most companies, they're going to give you more than what you're currently getting.
Yeah.
tell the truth, right? Because they want to make sure that you have no reason to say no if they really want you.
Right.
But if you want, you know, you just have to, that's the time when you tell them the number that you actually want, basically.
All right. The actual number that you're worth versus the number that you're making now.
What's interesting is I think you, myself, and Ray are the only three people who actually tell the truth when we're asked that question. Just in case our employers are listening.
Yeah.
We're the only people who never lied when they're asked that question.
So with you, Larry. Yes, yes, yes.
No, look, in all seriousness, Ray, you're 100% right, man. And I agree. Like, I feel like now we're at the stage where your wisdom is now, like, relatable to us. It's not, this is what's coming your way. Like, we've seen this happen. And so you're exactly right. When you're going into the job, you have to evaluate what your responsibilities that they're going to expect out of you. But then also, you know, if you are like, hey, I know that I need to step up a little bit in my pay, so I'm going to tell them this number that I'd be comfortable doing this job for, you know?
Yeah.
And I also can say, Ray, please underline cosign if you agree or disagree. Even if you feel uncomfortable about not telling the truth, then you can come up with this strategy, which I've tried recently, is this is the number that I'm willing to do the work for, and this is why I'm asking for such and such. And then you can give them, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to elevate to this, and blank, you know, like.
Yeah, like, I guess that's a good strategy, but I guess, like, maybe I wouldn't go straight to that.
Sure.
Unless they're like, you know, unless they're like, yeah. Unless they're very unsure about it, and then you could, you'd give them, like, sell
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, of course. So give them the number first, and then if it looks like they're not going to take the number, then immediately give them verification why that's your number, but then also stick to it.
Right. Okay. And also, you know, and also you have to understand too, is like some people don't really have like the leeway or the options to negotiate really.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
different people. You talk to employers or employees or both?
Employees, probably.
Employees I'm talking about, right? Employers too, like, you know, some companies, you know, make less money than other companies, right? So they have to, they have their budgets and they have like tiers and all that kind of stuff they have to adhere to, right? But also employees, like some employees really, like, you know, are in the bind, need to get a job,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So they can't just you know, pick and choose, and like there's a ton of jobs out there for them, you know what I mean?
Right.
So like when a job comes around that's, you know, where you can still eat and feed your family,
yeah,
you know, you got to take that.
A lot of it too is just watching situation. Like how much do you, earlier you were saying that if you want a number at your current job and you want to step up in your position, right? Obviously you wouldn't want to do it when the game is delayed or there's bad things happening in the industry, right? You have to be prepared to do something about it if you don't get your way. Otherwise, if you go in, it's like, hey, I want to get paid this much, but I'll stay no matter what you say. It's pretty much bad. Yeah. It's a bad negotiating skill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you have to be prepared to be like, hey, I'm going to leave and look for something better unless you want to keep me at this price or something like that.
Yeah. I had a funny experience.
I wouldn't recommend like going in and straight up extorting.
Yeah.
Like, no, don't extort, but like, hey, I know my worth.
Or like, doing or like going more. In and threatening people, be like, yo, right? But
I need to jump in.
Go ahead.
I feel like, Ray, you're exactly right. You're hitting on something that was very important in my experience leaving a company, I'll say, which was I went in and told them that I was unhappy about my compensation and we needed to discuss that. But before going in there, I already knew that if it went wrong, I had an exit strategy already in place. I already had an offer and I was good to go. So like, if this went wrong, it wasn't going to burn me. Like before I even said to them, I need to talk about compensation. Because Brandon, you're exactly right in the fact that if you go without having that parachute, then yeah, you're going to take your sad ass back to your desk, continuing to do the work.
It's the worst. It's like the most... Oh man, I want to say so many words, but it's a move that you should not take, man. Yeah. Tails between your legs, go back to your desk.
And like, then, I don't even know if you should feel that way about it, right? Because like you really shouldn't, right? Because it's like, yo, like he's gonna give you some sort of answer,
yeah,
right? And it could be like, you know, some prepared BS answer, or it could be like some real, like, hey, you know, these are the things we think you need to do, in order if you want. Like, it depends on the company you're at, different companies, you know, and different people, different managers. And, you know, some people are just have the BS ready for you and some people don't, right?
And
they might even say no, right? But then they might say, okay, here's the path to growing your career, right?
Yeah.
And let's work on that path, right? And then come review time or whatever, then you'd be like, hey, you remember that conversation we had?
Right.
And then if you're still getting on and you know you did good work, then, you know, then it's time to really look into it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My experience, I do agree with what you're saying. Like, if it's a great company and they appreciate the employees and everything, then I can trust me going in there and laying down the facts. I'll get the number that I want, right?
Yeah.
But most cases, it doesn't feel that way. It feels like they're always trying to undercut you, right? It's like, why would I pay you more tomorrow if today I'm paying you this?
Well, that's part of the company's job.
Yeah.
Right. Honestly, it's like, they hire people for the least amount of money possible,
right?
So that, you know, you don't spend that much money making the product that you're making, right? So you can make more profit, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, it's like no company's just going to go out there and be like, "I'll pay you whatever you want," right? Yeah. Unless they just have money to throw around, right? Yeah. So I understand, like if you throw out some low number, they're going to snatch it up. They're going to be like, "Yeah, of course, I want to pay you."
Yeah.
Right?
Peanuts?
Yeah,
that's all you want? Oh, we got that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But yeah, but I feel like most of the time counter offers only happen when you're saying like, hey, I'm thinking of leaving. They're paying me this much for what I want to do. And you know, if you guys have something better to offer, I'm all ears, but otherwise, you know, I'm turning in my 2 weeks. Like, to me, that has always been from colleagues that I've talked to, you know, in my own experience, that has always been the only time where I hear a real counter offer.
Yeah.
versus, oh, wait till 6 months for your yearly review until we find your replacement. And then we can talk. Like, that's the kind of conversation I often get when it comes to really talk. Like, if I was working for you, Ray or Larry, then I can talk to you as a friend and I can trust your judgment, right? And you'll be completely honest, like, hey, we're not at a place where we can find these things.
Yeah. Like, but you, like, won't take it personally when I say no, is what you're saying.
Okay, exactly. Gotcha. So it's, not talk to Larry. but also, like,
also at the same time, I don't like it also when you go out, get another offer, right? And it's being paid more, and then you come and you bring it back. Like, and also, like, recruiters don't like that either, right? Because that's why recruiters always try to get you to sign that joint, like, quick, right? Yeah. They're like, hey, we need to hear back soon, right? Because they don't want to give you time to go and shop it around and be like, look, I have this in hand, you got to, you know. And, like, personally, I don't like it. I think it's, you know, I don't like that style. Like, I'm thinking if you're at the point where you're getting an offer from another company, if you're at that point where you're literally going out looking, right, you just need to go take that, right?
Yeah.
Because, like,
just leave.
You know, and if I was like your manager, you're coming to me with this thing, I'm like, so you don't really want to be here, really, and you're only here for the money, really, right?
Yes.
So I would kind of look at you side eye a little bit and be like, I don't know. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it reveals a lot. Like, you know, maybe today we can meet the counter offer, but then you know that this person went outside, looked for another job, is potentially going to extort you again or just leave you flat out. And, you know, it's hard to maintain the faith when you come back and say, can you counter offer or I'm going?
Yeah.
It's almost a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on what party that you're dealing with. Mm. Like, I feel like most companies, well, the big ones, right, are always at a budget, and they're trying to keep you as low as possible for the 3 years to 5 years of development time. Mm. So they're always coming from that angle. It's like, hey, we're not going to upgrade you during development at any point.
Yeah.
And if we can still carry you over to the next project with the same salary, that's win-win for us.
Yeah.
So, like, with that, like,
it's my bonus money that you're taking from.
Yeah.
But there's also budgets, right? There's, like, these things are budgeted.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So they got to adhere to the budget, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, if they up your salary in the middle of the project, they have to go to somebody and ask for that money. And yeah. that person's going to be like, what? You know what I mean? And they would really have to believe in it and fight for it for you, basically, right? You know?
So you're saying like end of year is best, end of project is best to ask for that time?
I believe so.
I would like to play my devil's advocate card here. Let me just go ahead and put that on the table. Now, I will say that kind of branch pointing from what Brandon was saying earlier, pressure does get results.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, think about any time in your career when they think that they have their schedule, when they think they have it easy for them, yeah. where's the incentive for them to work or to try to appease what you need, right? Yeah. It's when the people say, like, hey, like, I don't like working here anymore. I think I need to take some time away. If that person is like a bottleneck at that period of time or like a very important, like a linchpin, the company will move mountains to yeah. satisfy that person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the project was done and they're no longer that linchpin, they're no longer the like, oh my God, we're behind in this department and like one of the senior guys is about to leave. If we're in between when we're doing like concept development and throwing around ideas, and then the senior guy comes and he's like, you know, I really think that I need to just take a break from the game industry. They're like, so you want to get drinks on Friday? Or what are you going to do? How are we doing this?
Yeah, exactly. What do you say to that, Ray?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm that pessimistic about it.
Well, I mean, it's true, no, right?
Because like if you, they like, have you. Even though the project's over, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, depending on where you work, mm-hmm. right? Because there's some places where people are just commodities, right?
Yeah.
And they don't care about you as a person. And they just want you, as long as you're useful, they're going to keep you around. As soon as you no longer become useful, you're gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there are companies where they actually care about the people. Right. And you know, and if that's the case, right, like your value should be obvious. It should be apparent.
Yes.
No matter what time the project is, and if the project's over, they should want to keep the team together to make another project and make it good too. Because when people have experience working together, they make better things.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Ray, you might be like the most hypothetical best boss I ever had. Because I wish to me, in my experience, that every boss thinks like that. Like, that was how I imagine companies would run, right? Why would you spend the time replacing someone when you can keep the talent and build something incredibly new, incredibly innovative, right? Instead of just starting over again.
There's definitely companies that, you know, that treat people like commodities, right? And if you don't want to be here, cool, get out. We'll get somebody else.
And I've heard that conversation more times than, of course, we'll pay you what you need.
And my argument is, you know, as an industry, we shouldn't accept that behavior, right? Nope. We should only want to work for places that treat us like humans and people, and go work in those places.
Right. Definitely.
It's hard is all I have to say, because, you know, there's a lot of people who are just desperate and starving for the opportunity.
Yeah.
And the companies know that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. oh, wow, you know, this company just shut down and let go of 500 people. That means there's roughly, you know, 150 top level, quote unquote, candidates at that company that we may be interested in. From that number, we may derive in like 20 actual referrals that we can bring in, you know? Like, some recruiters, as much as they post the like, oh, I'm so sorry that this company... As soon as they hit the post,
vampires,
they're instantly in their email, you know what I mean? Trying to pull in the talent. So,
of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's like, because it's hard to get good people. And then, especially if it's a company where people actually have some experience making something, you're like, oh, yeah, of course. So we want to see who we can scoop up.
And that's a good thing, by the way. I wasn't making that joke to be like, that's a bad thing recruiters do. That's awesome that as soon as people get let go, they're on the ball trying to find, you know, cream of the crop to bring to their studio. That's a very awesome thing because it's helping unemployed people find employment. I'll never, you know, treat that bad. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also have a vested interest in that too.
Oh, of course, of course.
Of course, of course.
Like, see, I brought in my 50 recs this year like I said I would. You know, it only cost this other company to shut down, but I did my job.
Yeah.
So, but like, as a student coming in, what is your – you said, like, of course, it depends on your own opinions of how you want to accept your number coming into the industry. But, I mean, do you have any other advice for a student coming in, like, to be careful of, to be too low? and too high or whatever.
Yeah, definitely don't come in being like, you know what, I'm dope. Mm-hmm. You know, I want as much as like the most seasoned person. Some guy I know told me he's getting paid this much. I want that much too.
Yeah,
because I'm just as good as him. Or or start like comparing yourself to other people that you work with. You know what I mean, right? So like you know, be reasonable. You know what I'm saying? It's probably the best. Like, I really honestly, when I came in, I was just like, yeah, just whatever, right? I didn't ask any real questions. I was just like, yeah, whatever, I'll do whatever, right?
Yeah.
But I guess like when you come in, you got to ask those questions about the work environment, about how do they actually value people, you know, the other benefits other than just your compensation, right? Mm-hmm. The things that matter to you, like, you know, if you're sick or you need to take care of your child or something, right?
Yeah.
Are they gonna trip about that? Or are they gonna be like, no, you have to be here, you know, until 1 o'clock in the morning because we're crunching and we're working on this thing right now, right?
Yeah.
Like those things are like the quality of your life when you work at a place is way more important.
Yeah.
I mean, and those two questions you should ask, I believe. And those are questions I didn't ask when I first started industry. And in the first place I worked at in this industry, I learned a lot. It was a great job in terms of like learning how things work in the industry. And I worked with like a lot of great people, but in terms of how they treated their employees, it was absolutely the worst place.
Yeah.
One of the worst places on earth to work at. Right.
Whoa.
like in terms of like no internet at your desk.
Mm.
If you wanted to download anything, you had to go ask one of the bosses to download something for you. You know, no vision, no dental. You know, like you had to be there. You know what I'm saying? We had pagers. So like if you had a bug, it was way back in the day. Yeah. If you had a bug, they would page you and you would have to come in and fix your bug. Like, I mean, it was like harsh working conditions, right?
Did you hum to yourself?
I've had at that place, there was definitely experiences where I'm like, man, this is some straight up sweatshop stuff going on here, yeah. Right? But yeah,
you did drop a gem earlier that I would love to highlight right now, and this is something that I even went through myself, so I want to hear your opinion on this because you're actually going to help me, Ray. Help me. You definitely said don't compare your salary to someone else's.
Yes.
Oh, man. That's something that everyone needs to know if they don't already. Some people don't know that, but you shouldn't do that. 100%.
Yeah. Like, and I think it goes both ways, right? It's just you. Like, some people kind of do it in negative ways, I think, where they're like, that guy's a joker. I know I'm better than him, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Don't be concerned with what other people are doing, right? Be concerned with what you're doing, and make sure you do your job and do it well, right?
Yeah.
And then go from there. And if you know that you're doing it well, if you know you're exceeding what they want from you, right? Then you could talk.
Yes. Right? Yeah. 100%. Right. I agree.
Yeah, because you got to remember, you're the one that accepted the number. You're the one that says, I'll do the job for this. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that guy, the Joker, is not his fault.
Well, I can jump in on my situation that I guess kind of left the bad taste in my mouth is in regards to like comparing salary, which is when you hear your job description, you do give your number, you start working there, and then your job description that you were told is only like one half of what you're actually expected to do.
Yeah.
And so then you want to talk about compensation, especially considering when you're like, yo, I'm doing all of this. Someone else is doing not so much all of this, but someone else is getting paid more. This is bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, what do you say to that, Ray? Well, like if you come in, right, and you're doing, because eventually they'll pile on work on you, right? So at what point, like even if it's mid-development, right, if it's too late, like we said earlier,
I've been in every situation, right? I started at companies and where they're like, okay, you're gonna do this, and the next thing I know, I'm actually the lead, right?
What?
And right, and then I'm like, what's going on here, right? You know, sometimes you just have to do the work.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then when it comes time, talk about these things. You're like, hey, you know, I came in here with this expectation and I'm doing all this other stuff. What's up? Right. Mm-hmm. And it's up to, it's really up to the company, like how they answer you. And then depending on that answer, how you react. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the saying like closed mouth, don't get fed. That's the main thing, right? Closed mouth, don't get fed. You gotta speak up. Yep. You just gotta speak up about everything and be honest about it. So
I'd like with to, that, oh, go ahead.
With that mindset, like if I were to, of course, you got to do quality work. You got to have your integrity and everything. But as soon as they pile more work, right, I'm getting into that Mozart. I got to build up my portfolio for my next job because I became lead midway. Because I'm always at the mindset. It's like, you know, I really feel you know, the right thing to do is to give them a chance, right? To talk to them and say how you feel, and hopefully they respond. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's like the surest strategy has always been like make yourself appealing to other companies first and then come back. It's like, hey, this is what I got going on. Mm-hmm. You know, if you guys want to keep me, then this is what I'm worth because yeah. I've actually tested the market and this is the data I got. I'm not making up numbers. Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, how much of that balance do you usually go about it, man? Do you usually go to them first? Is that all has always been your strategy? Or any moves?
No. And honestly, like, any time I've moved, it's never been about the money.
Right.
It's never been about compensation, like, except for probably, like, the first time when I moved from Chicago to California, mm-hmm. right? But also it was just better, like just better working conditions, like mm-hmm. in general, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all that craziness with like no internet and no dental, no vision, like that's crazy, right? And you're working on a title that's making a lot of money and then the bosses are rolling up in like different car after every project, right? But like, so it's never been about the money when I've left places. It's always been about, you know, wanting to grow. One time it was like family issues. So I just wanted to go and be closer to family. So like, you know, but it's weird because yeah, when I worked at different places, there are some people that were like unhappy with like their position or unhappy with their salary. Right. And I'm just like, hey, you know, why are you complaining to me about this? you need to go over there, talk to that dude over there that can actually do something about it, right?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not the one to talk to about it, right? I'll give you some advice. Go talk to that guy. So like if it gets to that point where you're like I'm really this unhappy and I want to test the market and make sure that, you know, I'm getting paid what I deserve. Right. Then you just have to make sure you go and approach your boss or whoever the right way about it. Say, look, you know, I like you here. I want to stay here. But this is what the market says I'm worth. Right.
Yeah.
Rather than going, hey, you know, so I interviewed at such and such a place and they gave me an offer for this. What's up? Right. Yeah. You have to approach it proper.
Yeah. Right. So even if you do have that offer, you'd be like, hey, this is what I'm worth. What do you think?
Yeah.
Don't be dropping names.
Right. But also at the same time, if you're like super happy where you're at and it's the greatest place and it's the greatest place ever and they're treating you great. Why are you even going anywhere else in this industry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is super, like, you know, one day that studio that you think is dope, like, will be gone. Right. Yeah. I think both me and you know about studios being gone, just gone, like studios that you think is awesome, and then next thing you know, it's gone, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, so. it's you're touching on a very good point. Like, I know this episode is primarily on salary, but like, if you're that one artist or programmer or designer or whatever who's always chasing money as the primary thing for a job, you're going to be very unhappy.
You're in the wrong industry, period.
Yeah.
Just straight up, you're in the wrong industry if that's your main goal.
Straight up. Because you're going to reach a ceiling. And then you're going to run out of space. And, you know, what's the point of being in the game industry if you're not enjoying the game you're making?
Yeah. I'd like to jump in with a little bit of topic of discussion is when you find out your value is not what you thought it was with your company, you know? Maybe, Ray, you may not have experienced this. And that's a compliment to you, buddy. That's all.
No, I think I have experienced that.
Okay, cool. All I'm going to say is, like, I had an experience where I was like, hey, it's time to talk about my compensation. I know that the expectation for why I was brought here and my workload are not even on the same page, you know? I've gotten documented proof that says, like, oh, you're doing a great job. We love all this work. Thank you so much. And so you say, like, it's time to talk about compensation. I wasn't asked, like, okay, Larry, what's it going to take? I just got, like, okay, cool. I'm going to talk to my boss, and then we're going to come back and work something out for you. Because my immediate boss was like, yeah, he was totally into it. He even agreed, like, yeah, Larry, you're right. We brought you in for this, but you're doing this plus X, so let's work that out. Comes back, like, same day. Yeah, we don't, there's nothing we can do. We don't have it. It's like, we don't have the ability to just, and so I think what really irritated me about that experience was there was no conversation of, Larry, give me what I need to take to him so that we can see if this is going to be a possibility. It was like, oh, Larry wants to talk about compensation. Hell no. You know what I mean? And so, that's basically what happens if they don't, you know what I mean?
And that's often the times, right? Yeah. That's why you got to be like, I'm ready to leave, son.
Like, some companies really, above all, the bottom line is above all, mm-hmm. right? Like, they just don't have it, right? Or they have, like, they have guidelines, and mm-hmm. and whatever you ask for is pushing outside of that guideline, right? And they're like, you know what? We don't have it for you.
Yeah.
If you're outside of this guideline,
but
right?
Don't you need to know if you are or are not?
That's the thing. That's really, they don't even ask for their number. Yeah. And I've had this happen directly to me before. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Like,
it could be, like I said, it could be two reasons. It could be like, yo, we have no more money to be given. Right,
sure.
Because of budgets and whatnot, right?
Okay. And then too kind, man.
No,
he's giving them the benefit of the doubt.
No. And then the other option is they don't think you're worth anything more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, that's the other option, yeah. Right? And I would love to believe that the second option is not the majority of the issues.
And that's and so on this podcast, we're talking straight up. I, as a man, would rather be told to my face that. Yeah. This is not a relationship we are willing to further invest in financially, right?
Yeah.
Or however they need to word it. Yeah. Just be honest and just be like, hey, Larry, you know, at this time, we don't feel like, you know, we need to increase your pay.
Yeah.
And then let me deal with that answer. But at least I can respect, you know, a company for telling me that versus any sort of lie that someone may pull out of their ass. I honestly, tell me the truth no matter what is all I'm saying. Respect me as a person because you expect me to bring integrity to my job. So be an integritous employer.
Yeah. And that's the I got to agree with that.
Okay. I would say the first job I had, in the industry, it got to the point where I was, when, you know, people were kind of grumbling about the work conditions or whatever,
yeah.
Like the boss, like that place is for as bad as it was, the bosses were at least straight up about it. They were like, look, if you want to get rich here, this is not the place.
Don't ever ask for a raise here.
Like, he's like if you want to get rich up in here, nah, this is not the place for you. Cut to the bosses are driving Ferraris and whatnot.
But
if you want to get rich here, this is not the place for you. We're going to keep the money for ourselves. Mm. We're just letting you guys know this right now, right?
But I would I'll be mad.
Yeah.
But I can respect that. Like, I get it, right? Mm. They're being honest. But if you were to say, hey, we don't have the money, and then you drive away in your Ferrari that you just bought that day, you know how much more angry than I am?
But then I worked at places that were like, they treat their employees well. You know, and they, you know, and they make sure that everybody wants to stay there and is happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so, and I've worked in places where they're indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, yo, we have the budget. This is the budget. You know, oh, you want more? No, this is the budget. You know, so it's, I think it's a mix out there. And no matter what you want, you just gotta be just straight up with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
100% agree. I will say this. My first job in the industry, I took the first offer right away because I didn't believe that I had any reason to say I want more. I almost felt like it would have been insulting. One, it was the most money ever offered to me in my entire life for 1 year's worth of work. And two, what could I say to prove that I deserved or could be capable of more? And so I didn't even want to risk losing, like going from $12 an hour at Best Buy to whatever my, I guess, average hourly rate would have been when that salary started hitting my bank account. I was like, I took a long pause to act like I was considering some math. And I was like, I could do it.
I would say, like, but actually that reminded me of my, like, when I was actually looking for jobs, I was kind of, I guess, I'm, like, as I've been in industry longer, I've kind of mellowed out. But like when I first started, right, like I didn't know nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then I always knew I wanted to do like 3D graphics, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So then when I actually interviewed, one of the only phone interviews I had for the game industry when I, before I got in it, when I was still in school at EA, and they're like, hey, you know, and back in those days when you started at a game company, like junior engineer or whatever, you're going to do the UI. You're going to do the front end. You're going to do the UI. They're going to just put you on something that nobody else wants to do. And that's what you're going to do, right? And they're basically telling me this. They're like, yeah, we pick you. We can put you on the UI or something like that. And I actually worked co-op jobs. And both my co-op, like my last two co-op jobs were actually at Alias Wavefront, you know, working on Maya, working on the UI for Maya. Mm-hmm. I don't like working on UIs. I hate it, right? and so like, these guys are like
Maya's UI.
So these guys. Well, I worked on the Marquee Menu Editor and that stuff. And so these guys were like, "Oh, we're going to put you on the front end if that sounds cool with you." Like, so I could have got, if I just said yep, I could have got that job. But I guess ignorance and like really. I just really stuck to it. It's like, no, I want to do 3D graphics. And there's no way in hell somebody's going to hire somebody straight out of school that knows nothing to work on 3D graphics on a game. And yeah. They were just like, they're like, man, get out of here with that. Right.
Yeah.
and so I never got the job. Right. And then when I saw that job on the Usenet for my first job in Chicago, like, you know, he didn't really tell me what I was going to be working on. And I also didn't kind of care. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm just like, yes, I'm going to take the job. And I got the job and got in the industry. And the first thing I worked on, the very first thing I worked on was UI. Right. And so like sometimes to get in the door, to get in the industry, you can't be picky and choosy if you really want to do this thing. Right. Yeah. You got to take what comes.
Yeah. I felt like the number that I got wasn't disrespectful. It was more than I had ever been offered ever. And so, like, I had no problem saying, you know, yes, I'll take this offer. It's just everyone that you meet will be like, don't take the first offer. There's always more on the table. Yeah. But, like, I think as the very first job, my goal was just don't get disrespected. You know what I mean? And the offer definitely was like, hey, man, you're a real man now. Put on your big boy pants because this is salary. I can see a comma right there. Like, we're good. Mm-hmm. We're Gucci. Let's do this, you know?
I guess to me, I'm like the exception to the rule because my first job, they came at me with a number and I said no and I wanted higher. And I was able to work half the time at home. Like that was part of my that was my negotiation, and this is my first job right out of school, right? Because a lot of it was not just me just being cocky, right? But it was some of it, right? But I evaluated the situation, right? I was luckily on campus when I interviewed. I looked around and I saw that what they were working on, and I knew where I was and how. Even as a student, I knew my value coming to them. And I was able, because it would have been an hour and a half drive, right? I live in the OC at that time, and I was going all the way to Six Flags, right, for the drive. Mm. So I knew that if they really, really wanted me, that they would work with me, and I'll be able to do it at home.
That's like on the other side of LA.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's like, there's no way I can take this job unless I do it half the time at home, and the other half I'll come in the office and work. And for this rate, because I need to be able to pay gas. But like that, a lot of it was evaluation, right? A lot of it's just like talking to them, seeing how they react to everything you say, and then throwing a reasonable amount where they didn't really took too much time, like to get back to me with that.
Yeah, I think the one is you mentioned cockiness, and I think that's the number one thing. But not to the point of being cockiness, of having like super cockiness or being really arrogant.
Yeah.
But like I have worked with a lot of people who didn't have faith in their own abilities.
Yeah, that's when you lose them. Yeah.
Right. And you have to have faith in your own abilities, right? Like some people don't want to go into negotiations and talk about these things because they don't think they are actually worth more.
Yeah.
Right. And so you have to have some sort of confidence in yourself, you know, to know that, I'm actually am doing a good job here, and not be second guessing yourself. There's a lot of people that kind of do that.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah. It's very important on how you say the number, not just saying the number. It's how you say it. Because even if they thought you were lower and you say it a certain way, they're like, oh, hot damn, maybe it's worth that much. All right, let's reevaluate things, because a lot of it, the recruiter, I guess when you're talking about numbers and salary, you'll be dealing with the recruiter most of the time, right, as the middleman. So the way you interact with the recruiter at the very beginning, all the way to the end, from when you're finally offered the job, right, that confidence and the way you come across is very important.
Right? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've actually had a friend that I recommended for a job, and I'm like, this guy's good, man. You gotta hire him. And then next thing you know, they're like, yeah, we're not hiring that guy, right? And like to the point where they were like, yes, we're gonna hire him, like interview and everything, we're gonna send the offer, and they're like, oh no, we're not gonna do it. And it all came down to they're like, oh man, he was so arrogant. And to the point where we just had to, like, we just couldn't work with this guy. Like, he talks to the engineers fine, but when he's talking to, like, the recruiter, he's talking all arrogantly and reckless and, like, just crazy.
Man, yeah.
Right? And I'm just like, nah, you can't do that to people. Right? So yeah, it's definitely matters how you talk to people.
Hey guys, it's Larry from Game Dev Unchained, the podcast. I just wanted to let you know that we wrote a book called The Game Industry Survival Guide. It's available on Amazon.com right now. This book is $4.99, and it will tell you everything you need to know about getting a job, maintaining a job, and getting promoted in the video game development industry. All of the advice, tips, and tricks were learned firsthand or passed down from other game industry professionals. This is the way to go. It's going to cut out a lot of the BS that you would have to go through otherwise. So you definitely want to check out the book, Game Industry Survival Guide by Game Dev Unchained. See you later. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Game Dev Unchained, the podcast. This is the point in time where we tell you the real deal. We give you 15 minutes of solid information and advice before we bring it home. So, Ray, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Brandon Pham, you still there?
Yep.
All right, first question of the day, Ray. As we kind of get up in our career, some companies will do things like, hey, we may not give you the actual numerical value and salary that you want, but we will compensate by giving you stock options. How do you feel about opportunities like that?
That's a good question. It depends. Like, it totally depends on the company, and it depends on what do you think those stocks are worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got that speech when I actually started working at Apple, actually, because they're like, oh, we have other ways of compensating, blah, 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 right? And at a company like Apple getting stock options, you know, you're like, well, like, what's the worst that could happen, right?
Yeah.
But there are, you know, there are horror stories where people have, you know, stock options for some company, and then one day they're like, guess what, guys? You know, we're getting bought, but guess what? Those options that you have, those aren't worth anything. So have fun with that piece of paper, you know?
Does that happen more often than not?
It happens a lot. Like, a lot of companies are like, oh, you know, we're going to give you a bonus, you know? And a lot of recruiters, like, I don't know, you know, how many recruiters you talk to, but a lot of recruiters, when they ask for what your expectations are for compensation,
yeah,
they usually ask, does that include bonuses and everything else?
Right.
Right. So what was I going to say? Yeah. So there's, it's actually in the company's favor to give you compensation in terms of like some sort of deferred compensation, mm-hmm. right? Because it basically stretches it out over many years, and it's basically, you know, it basically amortizes the cost over multiple years, right? Mm-hmm. Versus a base salary that they got to pay you every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, you got to get that check, right?
Yeah.
And then that also when it comes time for a raise, right? Like they end up saving money by lowering your base, but giving you more in terms of stock options or anything like that. Mm-hmm. If the stock options are something that are guaranteed and something that you know is coming in, if it's like an RSU, right, versus an actual stock option, there's like a difference between those two, right? You should Google it, right, and definitely know what the difference is between those two things, right?
Is there a quick Cliff Notes version?
Quick Cliff Notes version basically is a stock option gives you the option to buy the shares at a certain price, mm-hmm. where an RSU gives you the stock. It's a stock reward, right?
And usually the options exercise on a certain date, right?
Well, even the RSUs vest on certain dates and stuff like that, right? But the big difference is basically like if the stock price is $60, but the option price was $50, the money you make is really only the difference between $50 and $60, right? Mm-hmm. Where if it's an RSU, it's pure money,
right?
And, you know, and depending on the age, like if the company's public or private or whatever, right? And sometimes, you know, like if it's a private company, you're like, yeah, you know, we might go IPO, we might sell, you know, there's stuff that can happen in the future, and then it'd be great, right?
Yeah.
You really have to evaluate that risk, how much risk you're willing to take.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, I'm always hesitant with the bonus as part of the compensation conversation.
That's the worst thing you can tell me.
I would say no to that. Most of the, like the bonus is like this mystery box, right? It's like do you want the cash prize now or do you want the mystery box? It can be anything. It can be nothing.
Well, different companies do it differently, right?
Yeah.
Like there's some companies that every year there's a 10% bonus or a 20% bonus or a 30% bonus, and you get that every year. Or depending on your performance, you might get more or whatever or less or whatever, but there's something always guaranteed, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's the companies where, well, if this project that you're gonna work on for 5 years, if it goes well, then you might get some money at the end of it, right? And that's more risky, right? Mm-hmm. I would just put it out there that you guys shouldn't complain because you worked on one of the better paying projects out there ever, uh-huh. right? but there's people that toiled away on games for a long time,
right?
And they're like, oh yeah, that bonus is gonna come. It's gonna be so nice, and the bonus never comes because the game doesn't sell, right?
Yeah, nothing at the end of the rainbow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would like to jump in, as I always seem to do after we make like a poignant point. I want to say something. I'm sorry, that's just the way it goes. Cool. Here's what I would say, especially about going through that experience, that I think will help the audience and future Larry. Make sure that your compensation, your non-bonus compensation, takes care of what you expect your compensation to take care of, and that your bonus is by definition in addition to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't fall for the, oh, well, bonus is part of compensation. Like, hell no. No. Yeah. No.
Well, don't fall for banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
Don't fall for that.
It's so true. Like, if a recruiter comes at you with that, then you need to just ignore everything she says afterwards.
Or he.
Because it's really dangerous to rely on unreliable money. Like, you can't live a life for that year or 2 years or 3 years hoping that, you know, it would be worth it. Mm-hmm. Because that's just not how it works, guys.
And sometimes it doesn't end up working like that, right? Like, as much of a sure thing as anything may be, you know, there's always that Holly Holm to the Ronda Rousey, you know, and that's just the way it works. That's just the way that it works.
Punch in the face.
No, it was more like a kick to the dome.
Yes. Is it a kick to the dome?
Yeah, it was a kick. Music.
But
all right,
Mr. Raymond Graham, would you agree or disagree? And if so, if you have any extra elaboration, do you think that going company to company is a really good way to get a raise for yourself, or do you think maybe working at a company, working very hard, is a good way to get a raise? Or just how do you feel about the two things even?
Yeah, depends on the company. And I also think, like, jumping from company to company could also be kind of like a negative thing, mm-hmm. right? Because people could look at it like, you know, you haven't been anywhere longer than 2 years. Mm-hmm. What's up with that? Like, are you going to be here when this project's over? Are you, like, are you interested in this company long term? Or are you just going to be jumping around like a hired mercenary or something like that?
Yeah. Right. And your question is, what's your stock option?
And like, you. And like, you know, and I've only been, it's weird because I've been to a bunch of different companies and I've only been asked that question like once. The guy was like, oh yeah, you only been to these places a few times, you know? Mm-hmm. And in my case, you know, I was just like, hey, you know, like I've had a different reason like for each and every time. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But jumping around is not a good look in general. I think like, you know, some people don't view that as a good look, I would say. But there have been people that have jumped around for many different reasons, layoffs or just moving or couldn't find a job in one city and needed to move to a different city, didn't want to live in that city anymore, like family reasons, kids, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to evaluate everybody in a different way, like, you know, based on their own circumstance, right?
Right.
But back to the question, is jumping around better, best way to get a huge raise rather than staying at the company and doing hard work? It totally depends on the company. If it's a company that doesn't care about you, jumping around is the way you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
What's a good way to test if they care about you?
Well, that's what's
going to be. What is like one of the sure ways? If I'm a beginner, right?
Yeah.
If I have this like ideal idea of what a good company is and I feel like everything that is a problem, if I just show it to the manager, like things will get fixed, right? When do I know exactly it's not probably that?
Yeah. Well, like you have to have those conversations, right? You have to have like those honest conversations about whatever your issues are.
Yeah.
And then see how they react to it and see how they answer you.
Right.
If they're giving you some bull answer, or if you come at them like, hey, you know, I'm not happy with this and I want a little bit more money or whatever, and they kind of like, oh, that's nice, and they kind of or whatever, right? Oh, that's interesting. I'll get back to you on that, and then they never show up again, right? And
yeah.
Talk to you again, right? Yeah.
They refuse you, saying that they don't have the funds or they can't afford that before you even say a number, that's a bad sign too.
You have to evaluate that, right? There's some good companies out there where if you have a real concern about that, they're going to be like, hey, you know, we're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
And there's others that are like, hey, you know, there's nothing we can do for you, right? And you have to evaluate what's more important.
All right.
Would you say that your merit increase is a sustainable way of accepting growth, or do you feel like the merit increase alone is not, you know, I guess that really also depends on what a company considers a merit increase, but how do you feel about, you know, the annual merit increase versus performance based, you know, compensation?
Well, usually the merit increases or whatever, like I don't, whatever you want to call it, like isn't much, right? It's just enough to cover inflation or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you're like really dope, it might be a little bit more.
Yeah, it's enough to make you forget about inflation.
Yeah, if they really like you, then it might be a little bit more, right? But if you're talking about like growth, actual career growth, then you're going to move your career up into another position. Hopefully in the same company, right?
Yeah.
And then hopefully when that happens, they're like, hey, you know, you have a new position, so we're going to increase your salary by such and such amount because you have a new position now because we value the work you're doing, right? So it's just like yearly salary increases stay in the same position, consider growth? No, right? Because it's just covering your inflation, right?
Yeah. Right. Some maintenance money.
Yeah. So like,
I have to.
Real growth is actually growing in your career, right? Yeah. And then the company should be also increasing in relationship to that, right?
Right. Do you feel that,
of course,
that promotion in salary, does it usually equal to the amount that you would get for that same position at somewhere else? Or is it less?
Probably less in most cases, I would say. Maybe. Right? I don't know that much. I don't have anything really to compare, but I would imagine it would probably be less, right? Say, than if you went somewhere else looking for that same position. Because if the other places is also more, might be more desperate, right?
Right.
Depending on the position.
Right.
I would imagine if they were looking at an Excel spreadsheet that had your salary moving from like non-senior to senior, even if they knew they were going to write the rec for like $100,000, they're like, well, hold on now. This guy's going to do the job. He fits in on the team. You know, he's going to be able to do the work. We've already proven that because we've given him the work ahead of time and haven't paid him for it. He's only making X, and even if we give him a $10,000 or $15,000 raise, it's still less than what we would have written the rec at. I imagine some companies actually do take that advantage and then give them a bump to them, even though knowing full well they would have contributed more if it was someone coming externally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet money that that happens more often than we would like to think.
Sure. I have no idea.
Yeah, of course. This is all, I'm just making it up or just going on intuition, I guess. But,
I would imagine, it's like it's not going to be as big as a jump as going somewhere else because, because you're already at the company, right?
Right.
And you like it there. So, hey, why not, right?
Right.
Now, I've got a serious
question. But don't let people take advantage, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the other side of, salary acquisition is also, have you ever been in a situation where you felt uncomfortable because you might have made a lot more or, has your salary ever been like, oh, shit, they're making cuts. Now I know that I'm going to get looked at because I'm a juicy target.
Go ahead, Ray.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, this is you. This is you. I'll come in after.
I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say.
Ray's like, I'm so important. It doesn't matter how juicy of a target I look like.
The short answer to me is yes. Yes. Of course. Right? If they're making budget cuts, right?
Yeah.
And if you're at a company that doesn't really value the individual, right, your seniority or anything like that, and they're just trying to get by, well, they're just looking at the Excel sheet and seeing what's at the top and cutting it.
It reminds me, when I've seen layoffs happen and stuff like that, I don't think I've ever seen it happen to people that were really pivotal to the success of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever seen it happen like that. Like, I'm sure it probably has happened, but I haven't personally seen it happen like that.
Right.
So sometimes companies are like, they want to save some money, of course, but at the same time they're not trying to let's just get rid of our lead programmer right now.
See, the leads are safe.
That's not gonna happen.
Usually leads and managers are safe.
Yeah. If you made it to lead level, you're part of the team.
You're the group. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. They can't fire the messenger that's going to spread the bad news. Like, who else is going to? I'm not going to do it. We got to keep the lead so we can tell them.
Oh, man. All these pseudo jabs that are like directly, indirectly. So.
No, but also we've seen situations where whole studios close down and they're safe, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Raymond Graham, is there maybe one last thing that you would want to drop as far as a knowledge bomb on salary, finances, save 10%, what you got for us?
Yeah, save that money. And confidence in self, man. Confidence in yourself, confidence in your abilities, do a good job, and close mouth, don't get fed, period. Right? I've seen people sit there and stew and get all upset. Right, speak up.
It doesn't help that Ray's counting his money. That it's a raise that he got.
Yeah. If you're upset, say why you're upset, man. Like
say something.
You know, what's the worst that could happen? Yeah.
Managers be exactly aren't psychics. Where you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The worst that can happen is just you being exactly where you are, still stewing.
Or get the worst that can happen, you get fired, right? But like, if
do people really get fired if they ask for a higher bump ever?
I don't know. It depends on how, like, if the conversation goes south,
it
could probably end up like that.
Yeah, don't be name calling.
Yeah, I've seen people quit because they didn't get what they were hoping to get, but I haven't yet personally known someone who got fired because they asked for more, and instead of giving them no change, they just said, "Well, screw you altogether."
Yeah,
haven't seen it yet. That doesn't mean that I don't think it happens. I'm sure it does.
Yeah,
because like the wrong person could go ask for the raise. Like someone who has like been riding the line, and they're like, "If we weren't in a jam, we would totally let this guy go or girl." And then they're like, you know what? I need more money. Oh, man, please say goodnight.
Yeah. Every company has that one guy that Larry's talking about. And if you're looking around, you can't find that one guy, you're that guy. You're that guy, dude.
One more annoying joke away from just getting canned completely. Well, Mr. Raymond Graham, thank you for joining us for the podcast. And as you know, since it's your second tour of duty here, at the end of the podcast, we always give the audience to you to talk about something cool, to promote something, to shout out somebody, anything you'd like to do. Do you have another candidate for promotion at this time?
Yeah. You know, like, yo, if you're making a video game out there and you need an engine to use, you know what's up. You got to use Unity. Like, what's up? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's right. Ray works for Unity.
That's my shout out. You know? Yeah, use Unity, man.
Thanks. Is there anything since GDC is around the corner? Is there any talks on Unity that we should pay attention to if people are going to GDC?
Well, there's a ton. Like, it's on the schedule. I don't know them off by heart, but there are some Unity sessions that are happening. Unity sponsor sessions, you know.
Yeah.
And check them out.
Can't wait to see the new video that Unity dropped.
Oh, show.
And they always drop some dope
stuff. And there's also, of course, there's going to be a keynote where they're going to talk about some dope stuff. So,
yeah. Anything on in particular that you're already working on? That
Brandon, trying to get people fired?
Well, yeah. You know, we're working on some stuff.
Yeah, there we go. That's an exclusive to Game Dev Entertainment.
No, but also, you know, this GDC is going to be interesting because it's the battle of the game engines probably this year.
All right, nice.
Well, Raymond Graham, Brandon Pham, I love you guys a lot, but I'm out.
This is Brandon Pham. I'll see you guys next week. See ya.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys, and good night.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to stay in touch or continue to follow our developments, then you need to go to facebook.com/gamedevunchained and drop a like and stay in touch. You can also get the direct feed for this podcast on soundcloud.com/gamedevunchained.